We're beginning our class on the Jewish home, and tonight we will be discussing our second class on the subject of speech, talking, conversation, and the different conversational styles between men and women, and how they play themselves out within marriage. So, let's begin. Last week we discussed the difference between men and women in that women's conversation is a form of connection. Men's conversation is more goal-oriented. And this week, we'll begin with a discussion of getting to the point and beating around the bush. And so, our story begins with Chaim and Sarah, that famous and infamous couple, where they have a row, and Chaim comes home, and he says, Sarah, I thought about it, and let's go talk, let's understand our differences and how we ended up in this fight, and let's get to the bottom of it and make up. So Sarah says, great idea. So they go out for a walk. They start walking by the different beautiful trees growing out there, and Chaim says to Sarah, well, how do you see things? Sarah's silent. Chaim waits a minute, and he says, Sarah, didn't we say we're going to discuss what happened? Sarah says, yeah. So Chaim says, well, then why don't we discuss it? So Sarah says, go ahead. Chaim says, no, 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 what do you mean go ahead? We said we'd discuss it, that's a mutual thing, so let's talk. Sarah suddenly has nothing to say. Surprise, surprise. Suddenly she's reticent and silent. Sarah says, well, what do you have to say? Chaim says, no, I want to hear you first. What do you have to say? Sarah says, I don't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. Chaim says, what do you mean you don't have to say anything? You're mad at me. What are you so upset about? Sarah says, I don't know. Chaim says, what do you mean you don't know? Sarah says, I guess I'm stupid too. Chaim says, no, I didn't say you were stupid. I just want to understand how you see things and what the issue is and how we got here and how are we going to get out of here? Silence. Chaim says, well, don't you think we should understand one another in order to work this out? Sarah says, yeah, 100%. Chaim says, then why don't you tell me how you see it? Sarah says, well, why don't you tell me how you see it? Chaim says, okay, if you want me to, I will. The way I see it is, we started having this conversation, and suddenly in the middle of the conversation, you answered the phone, and I waited, and when you finished the conversation, we went off on a different subject, and then I tried bringing the conversation back to our subject, and then you weren't finished with what you were talking about, and I lost patience, and I wasn't right of me, and then you said something which wasn't nice on your behalf, and then things escalated, and I said this I shouldn't have said, you said that you shouldn't have said, and I admit I was wrong, I don't think you were too right, and I apologize for where I was wrong, and that's it. How do you see it, Sarah? Silence. Sarah, wait a second. I thought we said we're going to have this conversation. And how are we going to work it out if you don't tell me how you see it? You're right, Chaim. Okay, and I don't know. Silence. They continue walking. They come home and I see silence. And Chaim can't figure out why he can't talk to Sarah. So then he gets frustrated. He says, look, I don't understand. Things are only going to get worse if we can't work things out. Sarah says, you're right. Chaim says, then why won't you tell me what's wrong? Sarah says, you're right. I'm a bad person. Chaim says, I didn't say you were a bad person. I'm just trying to understand you. Sarah says, you never do. Chaim says, I try. Why don't you explain? Sarah says, you're right. I said I was a bad person. Chaim's getting really frustrated. Chaim says, look, you know, We said we'd have this conversation. I came to the conversation and I asked you to explain your end. You didn't explain your end. And then you insisted I explain mine, which I did. And then you didn't do yours. That's not fair. Sarah says, you're right. I said I'm a bad person. Chaim says, I'm not interested in saying you're a bad person. I am interested in understanding you. And could you please explain what upset you, how we got here? And I'm willing to apologize. I just want to understand what I did wrong. Sarah says, I didn't say you did anything wrong. Chaim says, right, I know you didn't say that. But the icy way in which you say you didn't say I did anything wrong sort of gives it away. So why don't you just tell me and let's move forward in this conversation? And Sarah looks at him and says, nothing. Silence. Now Chaim's getting really frustrated. So Chaim says, okay, I give up. Sarah says, so do I. Chaim says, what do you mean, so do you?
She's playing games, man. I dropped the conversation right at the park. I said, you want to tell me, don't tell me. That's it. Talk to me when you want to tell me.
Don't do it. That doesn't work either.
It doesn't work, because eventually they want to say it, and they're going to get it out no matter what. Don't buy into it. It's a trap. It's all it is. 100%. She's playing games. You tell her, listen, I'm not going to play in your game.
Right? Stay single, my friend.
Wow. Be nice to him at first, and then afterwards, I'll spread
it out. Yeah, you know, DD, as long as you take her art seriously, you're going to live with him.
They're speaking
to one second, wait, wait. Aviel, is my description accurate?
I think it's very accurate.
Ephraim, is my description accurate? Okay, now, you're talking about two ends of the globe, okay? You're talking about Africa and New Jersey. Okay, all women.
Of course, I know.
So wait a second. So she's not playing games. So that's what we're here to discuss. We're here to understand where she's coming from. You know, the classical response is what Nachum just said. You know, she's playing games. Give me a break. Get out of here. Forget it. Conversation over. Game over. What do you want to talk? Call me. Here's my number. Give me a call. Yeah, but what you going to do? You got four kids at home. Yeah, yeah, you got to come home.
She'll come and talk.
Oh, she'll come. Oh, boy, will she come and talk. You're going to come up there and suddenly supper's going to be served, but no plate on your portion. Huh? Oh, you're eating here too. Right. Do I know you? Yes, okay. So, obviously, what all men want to do is say what Nachum said, which is, you want to play games, I'm not playing the game, give me a call when you want to talk, and goodbye, I'm going, I got work to do, I got better things to do with my life than sit here and try to pull teeth. Wrong, you got nothing better to do with your life. There's nothing better than building your home. So, that's number one, where you're wrong. Number two is, let's rephrase that. Okay, let's phrase that in an accurate way. You aren't talking my language. You aren't talking my lingo. I am male, and I get to the point right away. And you're not doing that. And that's really upsetting me because I want you to come to my ballpark. And I want you to talk the way I talk and the way I want you to talk. And you're not doing that. So that's really ticking me off. But I'm a woman, and I don't talk that way. Yeah, but why can't you be more like a man? But you married a woman. See, she's not going to tell you all this. I'm telling you all this. So what's the conversation really happening here? He's getting super frustrated because Chaim is saying, I'm a man, and I'm talking like a man, and you're not answering me like a man, so I'm getting really frustrated. Why can't you talk to me like a man? Oh, you can't talk like a man? Goodbye, I'm leaving. So what's the answer to that? You brute. I'm a woman. What do you want me to talk like a man for?
Can you pull up the never mind thing that you told us last time?
No, it won't work here.
Oh, no. Okay.
So, let's continue our story. A week passes. 10 days pass. 2 weeks pass. Things calm down. He gives her a call. Hi, Sarah, I'm getting home early from work today. You have a half hour? Maybe we'll go for a walk. Sure. goes meets her, walks by the same sycamore trees, and they start talking. How was your day? Great. How was your day? Not so good. What happened? Ah, the coworker was humming in my ear again, and you know how she sits there and scratches her head and throws her lice at my table. You know, it's a pain in the neck. Okay, fine. He's listening. She's sharing. He's telling his day back and forth. And after about 10, 15 minutes, she starts telling him, you know, 2 weeks ago when we were out here and we were both pretty upset at one another. There were certain things. There was the way you said it, and then you put the dishes in the sink, and as though it's a given that when we're both tired and we're both going to bed, I have to get up in the morning and do your dishes. And there were all kinds of things which you did, which were just demeaning and unfair and unkind. And maybe you didn't mean it, but you have to understand that if we're both saying we're tired at the end of supper, so you say, why don't we go to sleep? And then you take the dishes and dump in the sink. And then, what are you really telling me? You're going to wake up tomorrow to the dried eggs on the dishes, and all the filth, and you're going to deal with it because I'm going to run out to work, and you're going to get home before me, and you're going to have to make supper, and you're going to deal with the dirty sink as you're rushing to make supper. Aside from that was all the conversation, but then she starts painting before him 15 different nuances of annoying things that he did during the conversation that he didn't even realize he was doing. She says, then you took that apron off the hook and said to me, you remember this apron I got you? And I was thinking, you jerk. Sure I remember that apron. It was our fifth wedding anniversary, and all you can get me is an apron? That's my job? I'm going to clean your dishes? That's what you get me? So sure, you take off the apron and I'm supposed to look at it lovingly? No! Suddenly he's seeing a whole picture he didn't even see. Ah. So he stops and he says, but I don't understand. 2 weeks ago we were standing here and I asked you and you didn't tell me. Why not? So now comes the fictional part of the story, which she'll never tell you, which is why you're sitting here today. The fictional part of the story is that she answers him and tells him, well, 2 weeks ago, you didn't want to talk. You came out here, and you started like a machine gun. Now you want to talk. Meaning, 2 weeks ago you came out here, and you just put the facts on the table. Okay, we have a fight, we have an issue, let's work it out. I'm not a machine gun. I don't work things out that way. Today, you came and said, I'm connected to you, I like you, you're part of my life, let's share our lives together. You started, in other words, with small talk. You came here and said, how's your day? How are you feeling? You expressed an interest. You shared time with me. We were able to talk about other things. And then we go around and 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 around. And then some more around and around and around and around. And then we can get to the point. So this idea is something which she won't tell you. I'm spelling it out here. It's easy. You're sitting in a class. She's not going to tell you this. That's why it's a fictional part of the story. Because you can't expect her to come and say, okay, you're male, I'm woman. Just like you don't see her needs because you see things through your lens, she doesn't see how foreign those needs are to you because she's seeing them through her prism. In her mind, you're such a brute. What are we, animals? You don't say hello? Oh, you said hello, I know. But that's not called saying hello. Saying hello is send me a pack of flowers, send a note with a box of chocolates. Now, in order to understand this, we have to really go out to a whole rabbinic institution, which we'll discuss in 1 second. But first, Uri has something. I'm with you.
So tell me if it's something different. But something I was trying to add towards the beginning was you talked about how you sort of had a circular conversation. This client had a certain circular conversation with Sarah about, like, you know, you seem to go in a circle, like, oh, tell me what's going on. No, you tell me what's going on. No, you tell me what's going on. No, you tell me what's going on. And that's how it ended the first time. So I was thinking to myself, what would I do in that situation? And before we arrived at this conclusion, I'm like, I would try opening up with compliments and seeing if that eased attention. Now, is that different than what you're saying?
Sure. I'm not saying compliments. I'm talking about small talk. First of all, the Torah is a fan of small talk. The Torah illustrates to us over and over again that Hashem begins with small talk. And this is something which unfortunately Israeli society has lost. People can walk over to you. I have this all the time. People walk over, they haven't seen me all day, and suddenly their problems are at my doorstep. And I look and I say, good morning. My name is Netanel. What's your name? Oh, Hananel. Shalom. It's good to see you. Yeah, what was the issue you wanted to discuss? No problem. There's a guy who this has been going on with for 2 weeks now. Every day he comes and says, Rabbi, I'm stuck with this Gemara. And every day I look up at him and I say, good morning, Hananel. How are you? Good. Yeah, what's the Gemara? So he's getting it eventually. But the Torah doesn't work this way. When Hashem appears to Adam, after Adam's eaten from the forbidden fruit, Hashem begins with small talk. Hashem begins with saying, Ayeka, where are you? And the Medrash says, why does Hashem ask, where are you? So the Medrash says, because Hashem doesn't come straight to the point. Hashem doesn't show up on the scene and say, Adam, what'd you do? Come on. I had faith in you. You destroyed everything. No, Hashem begins with small talk. Hey, where are you, man? Right? And today's lingo, right? Ayeka. So, a woman needs more small talk, but let's understand this a little bit better. What would a male version of marriage look like? So, a male version of marriage would look the following, Chazal say. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, if the world were left to men, I'm paraphrasing the Gemara. I'll tell you what the Gemara really says in a second. But by inference, we understand what the Gemara is saying. Meaning, it's not spelled out in the Gemara. But what we can understand from the Gemara is that a male version of marriage would look like this. Huh? Huh? The ring? Yeah, the finger, the ring, yeah? Yeah. Okay. So, we make up a place. We meet. We decide on the day to get married. I find the fanciest restaurant, fine. Oh, you want to invite a few guests, fine. So, I buy some food. Or better, we do a manga, we do a barbecue. I don't even have to prepare in advance. I show up with some hot dogs and franks and burgers. And maybe I'll even splurge and buy a little bit of steak. And some buns. And we have our manga, we celebrate. And we go home. And the next day, if not the next day, the following day, I'm back at work. Along come Chazal, tells the Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara in Ksubos says, Shakedu chachamim al takanat bnot Yisrael. Chazal invested. Chazal were quick to come to the rescue, so to speak, and said, we want to take care of the daughters of Israel. And we insist that you take time and prepare for the wedding. Meaning the man would be capable of showing up with a bunch of meat. Honey, you're going to be my wife, right? Make it into bowls. You know, make your hamburgers. I'll put them on the fire. Okay, wedding, great. Whoever said you have to wear a white wedding gown, come on. I'll get you a nice white apron. Shakedu chachamim al takanat bnot Yisrael. The Gemara says in Ksubos, if it were up to us men, we wouldn't prepare 3 days for a wedding. We'd show up the day of the wedding and figure something out. And next Gemara, Shakedu chachamim al takanat bnot Yisrael. Chazal again, they invested thought and they were quick to the rescue, so to speak, and they said, for the sake of the daughters of Israel, you have to spend 7 days Sheva Brachos enjoying with your wife, enjoying the fact that you have a new wife. Because for up to us men, honey, you know, I got planes to catch, bills to pay, you're going to want me to buy you a mink coat when we celebrate our month's anniversary, where am I going to pay you for that for? So of course we're married, great! Mazel tov, I'll drink l'chaim, but tomorrow I'm back at work. Along come Chazal and say, 7 days, no work. 7 days, be with your wife. But what does that show us about the male psyche? Isn't that interesting? We'd be able to be up and out and back to work a day after the wedding, 2 days after the wedding. We wouldn't take no 7 days, a whole week. Come on, who are you kidding? Who has a week?
Well, who doesn't want a vacation?
Okay. So, there's this aspect where men aren't so good on the preparatory side, And men aren't so good on the appreciation and taking time side. We're very, let's get to the point, you know, in everything. Our attitude is, get to the point. So get to the point in conversation. Let's get to the point in the wedding. Let's, you know, we know what we want, then fine. It's great, we got married. But what do you want? 7 days? No. 1 day, fine. 2 days. So Chazal took us and Chazal balanced us. And again, the terminology in the Gemara is Chazal made these institutions for the sake of the daughters of Israel. Meaning us men, we'd be okay. We'd be fine with a mangal wedding. Show up with 3 mangals so you have enough barbecues for all the guests. Okay, fine. Get a good friend to make some hot dogs. We're good. And the same is true after the wedding. We'd be good with a day, too. Fine. 7 days? No. We wouldn't take those 7 days. So Chazal made these institutions for her sake, meaning she has a need that we don't intrinsically meet. We don't have this innate understanding for her need. We don't have the understanding of the preparation that we should have towards a woman. We don't have the understanding of the time we should take pre-conversation, post-conversation, pre-marriage, post-marriage. This attitude of men's of let's get to the point, that doesn't work. So Chazal taught us, Chazal trained us. So that means that when a person's anniversary is coming up and he thinks, on my way home from work, I'm going to stop by the store and see what flowers they have and maybe a nice pocketbook, that doesn't work. Try starting a month beforehand with letters and, you know, make yourself a nice chart with all kinds of games and who knows what. Be romantic. I say the 7 days prior to a wedding when couples don't talk, so every day a nice little gift should show up at her door. No one listens to me, but I say it anyways. I did it. I one day a letter with a pair of slippers, one day a letter with a scarf. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but, you know, guys. And it shouldn't only be pre-marriage. You know, you're married, you have an anniversary coming up, you have a birthday coming up, or stum. But this idea of prelude, we have to spend time before the point and learn to overcome our male tendency of get to the point, or let's just grunt and figure out what we're saying. Why do we have to use so many words? Go watch what goes on in the lunchroom here. Come on, you guys know what goes on. Go to the lunchroom, go to the Beis Medrash. You see men. Why is it that all the hand motions that are curses are usually used by men? Think about it. I have to use my mouth? I'll show them what I think of him with every other gesture that exists in the world. Why? Because it's all a male thing, you know? Women, they could talk for a day telling you what they think of you. But men, come on. So, if we have an issue that we want to discuss with her, our point that we were discussing today is the idea that women need this small talk before the point, small talk after the point. Being that we now understand, based on last class, that speech by women is a mode of connection. And we discussed that women outnumber men 9 to 1 in the need to talk. The Gemara says there were 10 measurements of speech that were given to the world. 9 were given to women, 1 was given to men. That means that for every sentence you talk, she needs to talk 9. So have patience. But the speech represents a form of connection. So we also have to play it their way. And if we're going to form a connection, we have to talk their way. We have to be open to talking their way. And that means having small talk, especially when you have an important discussion. Very often you will have important things to discuss with your wife. And you'll find that you try to discuss it and suddenly she goes off topic. Boom, boom, in every direction. What's going on here? I thought we were discussing whether we're taking our girl out of school or not tomorrow. Isn't that important? It's a little important, right? Are we switching schools tomorrow or not? We have to come to a conclusion. It's 1 o'clock in the morning and for 3 hours, every 2 minutes, you're going off topic. Okay, why don't you try differently? Why don't you try starting off topic? Begin by connecting. Begin by having small talk. And then say, okay, now we sort of have to discuss what's happening with our daughter. Now, let's discuss it And if you filled her need for connection through speech and small talk prior to the subject at hand, so then she'll have an easier time leaving the small talk out of the big discussion. You'll still have small talk in the big discussion. She'll still go off on tangents, but she'll be more open to staying on topic. And you'll have won her interest, even on touchy subjects like, why are we in the middle of a fight right now? I'm not really sure what you're upset at me for. You know, you walk into the house and you see that look, and you know something's wrong, and you're asking yourself, okay, what did I forget? You look at your calendar, it's not our anniversary today. It's not our birthday. I didn't promise to bring home supper. And you're standing there looking, and you know, okay, something's wrong. I missed you. It's been such a long day. And you're starting, you're begging, you're trying, give me a clue. Where did I mess up, right? I missed something. Okay, how are you going to get there? So tonight we learned one of the key tools to having effective conversation with our wives, and that is allowing for the conversation to flow smoothly before the point we want to discuss. Meaning, if a couple has a serious topic to discuss, first let's take time to form that connection, to let the conversation just be about how your day was, how my day was, how are the kids, how's life, so good to see you, aren't these beautiful trees we're walking under, small talk. And after we've had our time to connect, which means 10 minutes, guys, I know the male tendency is, beautiful trees, right? Okay, now what were we arguing about? No, 10 minutes of small talk, then you'll be able to talk about it. And you know what? If you do this right, then she'll bring the conversation back to topic. If you and she both know there's something brewing, there's something you have to discuss. If you've given it enough time talking about other things, then chances are that she will bring it back to topic.
So are you saying that being married is all about outsmarting your wife?
I am saying being married is about understanding her needs and learning to address them and learning to behave in a manner that is fair and caring for her needs, not demanding of her to match our needs.
Okay, but you know, but that's already, it's already the second example that, you know, that's, like you said, you know, okay, if you do this right, then she will, you know, get to business and you don't have to do it awkwardly. You know, like is it figuring out like those tricks to where you get progress made without doing so in a troubling way, is what I meant to say by outsmarting your wife.
And don't you think that if you've learned to do this, after a few times it'll become natural to you to have small talk with your wife? Don't you think that
should
this is just
be
the beginning?
To begin with?
No, you're male, it isn't.
I'm saying, but if she's your wife, and you obviously should have something in common, so we're like, oh, wow, you know, and then well, okay, whatever. And is it really such a bad thing to bring to the table what needs to be brought to the table, or do you really want her to do it because it's more awkward if you do?
I'm sorry, that's because you missed the whole beginning.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, you got the last, you're missing the... Wait, sorry. Yeah.
So, it's important. Is it important? Because this is the lesson I'm getting from this conversation, is that when you are seeking a wife, it's important to have some like interest in the same subjects. Because if you're going to be talking with her for long periods of time, it's good to be interested in the same thing. Because if she's talking about cats and you like talking about dogs, I mean. Don't you?